Near point, Namestnikov shoots. Hallmark the save, rebound, they score! On the delayed penalty, the Red Wings come in and score on the rebound, far side. The jump in front of the Bruins, 2-1.
Granlin inside the line.
Steps it in front! It's tapped in by Forsberg!
Center of the blue line, Ekblad, right circle, Huberdeau looks across, here's Reinhardt, shot, and he scores! A power play goal for Sam Reinhardt, he beat him short side, and the Panthers have taken a 5-4 lead!
Logan Brown out there, number 22, first game with the Blues, here comes Sundqvist, he'll drop it to Brown, he's got room, shot, score! Hello, Logan Brown!
TSN 1200.
Welcome back, everybody. 8:15 here on this midweek Wednesday morning. A Sens game day Wednesday as they're back home tonight for the first time in, well, with the COVID cancellations or postponements. It's been a while since we've seen the Sens on home ice, but they're back at it tonight taking on the Vancouver Canucks. Again, note the start time, 7:30. Some highlights there from across the league last night. I think the guy that's doing the Florida games right there, and that was a big comeback. I understand the excitement. He could be a monster truck driver announcer guy.
Yeah, he is.
He's got
actually
that big, deep kind of voice that he pulls on.
Yeah, kind of a, just commercial guy. Yeah. Probably does a lot of stuff in-house. Feels like maybe a little side job at the casino. lot of different stuff.
All right, Rupe Hintz with a hat trick. Philip Forsberg with a four-goal night. And Logan Brown in his St. Louis Blues debut. Just got called up from the minors, scores a goal in their shootout win over Tampa. All right, to talk all things hockey, we welcome to the show, as we do each and every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, TSN Hockey Insider Dave Poulin, as always, a presentation of the Myers Automotive Group. How you doing this morning, Dave?
Very well. I thought we might see a Logan Brown or hear a Logan Brown highlight this morning. That crossed my mind as I caught that great comeback in St. Louis. It didn't look good early for them, but interesting decision to leave the goalie in at 3-0 simmer. I like those decisions. That's how you build. And, you know, Greg Berube makes a decision to leave Binnington in the game, and they come back and get it done for him. So a lot of positives there in a win like that against the Tampa Bay team. And things continue to roll in Florida, guys. I caught the comeback in that game in the third period as well, so I had it flipping pretty good last night.
Yeah, no, I agree that the one off the stanchion there, that was as wild as it gets against Binnington by Cernak. And for Florida, how impressed, first of all, under Andrew Brunette, but more importantly, under Barkov, able to find a way to win some hockey games.
Yeah, really, really impressive, and it speaks to the depth, you know, of what they've been able to do. And probably quietly, I would say Billy Zito has done a really, really good job down there. I get asked often about you know, preparation for the GM role and, you know, what the best route is. Young guys will say to me, you know, what the best route is. And ideally, you want to do everything. But Billy Zito, a former agent, you know, who then came up through the assistant GM role in Columbus under Yarmo, and he's just done a really, really good job down there. And in the agent side of it, you see so many different aspects, and you look at the other side of the equation and what it takes to motivate a player and what it takes, you know, different makeups of players, and you probably get a deeper look into an individual player than a lot of other positions in hockey do. So they've done a great job down there, and Andrew Brunette continues to impress, and good for him. It's fun to watch.
There is a clear, it would appear, top three in the Atlantic Division right now. We'll see what comes of Boston as the season goes on, but Tampa, of course, has a two-time championship pedigree. The Leafs are playing maybe as good as they ever have under Sheldon Keefe right now, and then Florida just keeps rocking and rolling. I mean, I'm projecting ahead to the end of the regular season, but how important is it going to be for somebody to win that division? Because somebody's second place is playing third place. And so, as a wise man once said, Dave, somebody's going home early who thought they were going home late and getting knocked out in the first round.
And one of those teams did go home early last year.
Yes.
the team that's sitting in that precarious 2-3 spot right now in Toronto.
Yeah.
It lets you emphasize games in December is what it does, JR. It lets you say how important tonight is. And, you know, I love looking at from the outside, at looking at the makeup of locker rooms and the makeup of teams. And I think we know that the makeup of that Tampa Bay locker room is pretty good. And, you know, they've been able to get through a whole bunch. Florida, I still think, is in a growth phase of their locker room. And Toronto is closer. than they've ever been in their locker room. And they just went through a West Coast swing, and I was asked about the fact they practiced every day and, you know, didn't get a day off, even despite winning the games. And it reminded me of the really good teams that I played on, and particularly in Philadelphia and in Boston. When you went out west, that was a big carrot because there was only one West Coast trip. And we would skate every day, and it was part of it. But we skated at 8 a.m. in the morning. So we were up at 6 a.m. We skated every day at 8 a.m. and at 9 o'clock your day was over, you know, in terms of work. But you worked every day, and that was the emphasis on it. So I'm watching the makeup of those three teams. It's really going to be fun. And then you've obviously, you know, on the other side of the Metro, you've got the Washington Capitals rolling along nicely with their championship pedigree. And I would say still the up-and-coming Carolina Hurricanes. So it's going to be fun in the East. Boston had better get it together pretty quick, I would say. You know, you don't want to let other teams linger too long, and there's still some teams that were expected to do better. Philadelphia certainly was expected to be better. But then the surprises in both Columbus and Detroit. I mean, Brad Larson, you rarely hear any mention of what Columbus has done, but they're a young group and they're off to a nice start as well, and they're causing some problems for people, as Detroit did last night in Boston.
We hear Philly's going to be good every year. As far as Toronto, does it feel different
this
year?
Point.
No, that's a really good point.
Yeah. No, you're right. But they made a lot of changes.
Well, that's exactly. They keep moving around the furniture. And honestly, I love Chuck Fletcher, but it reminds me of Minnesota. Does it feel Toronto different in Toronto, Pauline? I know they have to win in the playoffs, but are you feeling more confident about the group if you were entering a playoff?
Yes. Yeah, for sure. And, you know, and I live in the city and I see them more often, but a lot of reasons, and part of it is what we just talked about, and that's the locker room and the makeup of the locker room. And it's such a, I mean, you can create a perfect locker room in your mind, but you don't know what goes on when you're outside of it. And I'm watching now, and, you know, there's some factors that are coming into play that might not even still be in that locker room. And when I say that, players that went through here at various points, as Zach Bogosian and Joe Thornton, had impact on guys. And that impact lingers after those guys are gone. And it appears to me to be a very, very strong room right now, just with the exact components they've added. There's certainly more veteran in there. Jason Spezza plays a really important role for this team, guys. He's playing very well, but he plays a really important role for this team, and he's content to play an important role in a fourth line, some nights seeing 8 minutes. And so that's where you're going through different phases. Like, how do you handle a year like this? I'm big on breaking the schedule into different pieces. This year you have the natural break of the Olympics that we think are still going to happen. That'll be 3 weeks in February. So you can stagger all different parts of your season and say, okay, here's our month of December. Here's what it looks like. You know, and I liked when I looked at December and saw I was on the road earlier in December, and then I was home a good portion over Christmas. And actually Ottawa has a pretty favorable December schedule as well. A lot of games, but favorable with young guys being home over Christmas, which is still a big factor in a young guy's life or someone with young kids. And so I do see a difference in Toronto, though. I definitely do. And for me, a large part of it starts with Jack Campbell. There's a confidence in their goaltender. Even when Freddie was at his best, you know, there was the question of the backup. We're not even talking about the backup right now, who currently is Joseph Woll, who was 3-0. Because Campbell is so good and instilling so much confidence in this hockey team right now. And, you know, I had questions about Campbell coming in just from a standpoint of durability and, you know, whether he was truly a number one. He's proving every day that he is that.
Well, from the top of the Atlantic Division to the bottom, which is where the Ottawa Senators find themselves, and back home on a 5-game losing streak. Rest of the week, Dave, after tonight with Vancouver is at Carolina tomorrow, so back-to-back on the road against one of the better teams in the league, and then Colorado, which is getting Nathan MacKinnon back tonight, coming in on Saturday. So for a bunch of different reasons, how and the caliber of the opposition tonight, how much emphasis are the Sens putting on just trying to get back in the win column in a game like tonight?
And that's exactly what it is. It's very, very singular. You're not looking ahead at all if you're Ottawa. You've got arguably the best lineup you've had in your locker room in a while. So to look around and see a Drake Batson back and see the line start to form like you thought they were going to form, I think is very, very positive. After Vancouver, you're going to see some teams that you haven't seen in a while. And, you know, through the next sequence of games, you know, a lot of these teams you simply haven't seen. And in a couple of years, and some guys have never seen them, some of the young guys. But it's very, very singular. You've got a team in Vancouver, and you can't even be worried about, you know, when you have your own struggles, you know, you don't worry about other teams. You simply can't. And that's what Ottawa's got to focus on. And, you know, they've got to settle in, and they've got to play their best game in a long time tonight. And their lineup lets them do that. The confidence, even of a player or two coming back into it, gives them that much more jump and that much more confidence in getting back. And you know, Boston's become a big part of this team, so it'll be a welcome addition back tonight.
Coming back off of the West Coast Wednesday night, I don't think it'll be a mega crowd, and it is Vancouver. Tough game to motivate for, or if you're the Sens, hey, man, you got to bring it tonight. Bring all the energy you possibly can.
Yeah, no question about it. I mean, you've been off since Saturday, and you know, you've got your legs underneath you, and a very, very disappointing West Coast trip on all fronts, and factor in everything we factored in, and it's all real. You know, they're not fictitious factors. This isn't coaches making up things that, you know, yeah, about why their team isn't playing well. There have been some real factors, and I don't think the trickle down from the COVID sicknesses, I don't think it's measurable. I really don't, because I think there's a mental trickle down and a physical trickle down, and we don't know what that is. We really don't. And we don't know if, okay, well, you know, when we're coming out of COVID protocol, we feel pretty good for a couple of days, and then there's always a relapse. We don't know any of that stuff. And so you've just got to continue to battle through it. But all focus to me right now is just the Vancouver Canucks and winning one hockey game and going from there and getting some positive energy. I mean, life is so much easier when you're winning hockey games and everybody's smiling and the positive energy is there. And I think, you know, and I always loved the month of December as a player. I love the build up to Christmas. I love the energy that was in the buildings. It seemed like, you know, and it just seemed like a different energy to me for a young guy.
The Matt Murray situation kind of took on a life of its own yesterday, Dave, as he made some comments, but he's not here. He's, you know, down in the minors for the foreseeable future. Inside the Ottawa Senators dressing room, does what he had to say yesterday, does his absence from the locker room have any effect whatsoever? Or as players, do you park it and you're moving on?
You park it. You have to park it. You respect it, but you park it. I did get a chance to see the presser yesterday with Matt, and I thought he handled it pretty well. And he was pretty positive. And if you think of the key aspects that he brought up, he brought up family a lot and the proximity. And, you know, we were a team in Toronto that moved the minor league team right to the same city for things like he's talking about, and the proximity factor and the ease of having your American League team close. And it's not in the same city, but it's pretty close. And he talked about being able to drive home after practice and the importance of seeing his wife and daughter. So that, the family aspect, he talked about a lot. And he also talked about Justin Peters, guys, you know, the goalie coach in Belleville, and he knew him apparently and had skated with him. So there was a comfort level there. And he just said, you know, it's been really comfortable. The energy level's been good. Now he's joining a winning situation down there. That team's on a little bit of a roll. And Troy Mann continues to do a good job down there developing, no matter who he's got. And he talked about his relationship with Matt Sogard, and a young goaltender, you know, who's making his way. So everything seemed positive, and that's exactly the way he has to handle it. And, you know, I think he knows. He was asked a question about one part of his game to work on. He did have an answer for that, because I don't think he knows whether it's mental or physical right now. And there is the combination of, I mean, arguably the best game he's played was the one in which he was injured in, you know, that he suffered the head injury in. And, you know, was he getting everything back together? And then the unfortunate collision with Chris Kreider's knee derails him again. And so, you know what, I still think that this is a player that can come back and be a significant factor for your organization. I do. I haven't, you know, I watched goaltenders and players go through a variety of things. He's still a young guy, and I still think that, you know, that this is salvageable in every regard.
Feels like, in my estimation, Pooley at times been a little slow to come back. He was slow to get into an exhibition game. Any red flag or nerves of the fact that he doesn't know if he can play tonight in Utica?
No, there's not for me, Simmer. I think that's part of his own growth, too. You know,
but how many times can you go down this path, though? And yeah, as I said, we talked on Monday, but yeah, I mean, there's too much of this pool. Yeah.
It's the exact same rep that Freddie Anderson came to Toronto with.
Yeah.
It's exactly the same that he came out of Anaheim with. They were uncertain about whether he could play unless he was 100%. And you know, Matt Murray, maybe this is the stage where he figures it out. okay, you're not going to be 100% every night in the National Hockey League, Simmer. You're not. And there are guys that want to be 100% to play. Well, guess what? After day one of training camp, very few guys are 100% ever again. And I think Freddie Anderson actually worked through that when he was in Toronto, because I know coming in from Anaheim, that was the exact same thing. Yeah. You know what? He's fine if he's 100% healthy, but you're never 100% healthy. You're just not. So is that something specific that you're working on with Matt Murray and say, okay, you know, your finger's tweaked, your left leg isn't sure, you're not 100%, you don't feel great, you know, your stomach doesn't feel right. Put that all behind you. Here's what we have to do. We have to battle through it. And maybe starting that first game, you know, you're saying, okay, you don't feel 100% right now, you're playing. And that's part of why they're doing what they're doing, Sim. And it has to be part of it. It has to be. Because there is both a mental and a physical side to what he's going through. And, you know, and if some of it is, I have to be perfect to play, that's not going to be an effective long-time player of the National Hockey League, because it's just not.
He, and when asked directly if he feels like he's being made the scapegoat for the poor start to the season by the Sens, he did say, yeah, I do feel like that. And also was asked about, you know, his thoughts on the decision, and how it's been explained to him. And he says he's confused about kind of where he stands with the organization, et cetera. Again, none of us are privy to how the conversations went when he was told he was being waived and any subsequent conversations since then. I'll just simply ask the question, is the relationship between he and the team salvageable?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And some of that will be up to Troy Mann, and some of it would be up to, I would imagine, someone from Ottawa will be going down, and maybe Peter McTavish that will be going down, and maybe Pierre McGuire that will be going down to see him play, and it'll be a conversation that will be had. But some of this is what a player hears as well. I mean, you might talk to someone from management and say, well, he was communicated with, and here's exactly what he was told. And then you talk to the player and you say, okay, because I've been in meetings with three people, and afterwards it was like, well, he said this. And then the player says, well, I heard this. And, you know, but communication has to be clear here. Troy Mann will be a big part of it, as I said, as a conduit. But it also won't be, babysitting is the wrong word, but it won't be coddling at all. Mm. I mean, there might have to be some real tough love here that says, okay, you know, and it might follow up that and say, okay, what exactly weren't you communicated that you feel you should have been? You know, if I heard that, that's what I would be doing. You know, I'd be picking up and saying, okay, you know, you said you were confused. What were you confused about? Because I heard that word as well. What were you confused about? Let's clear it up right now. And that's part of it. And once again, that would probably be one of the assistant general managers or one of the support people. I don't think that's the general manager. I think it's probably a Peter McTavish role that steps in and says that. It would have been, you know, would have been a role that I filled at some point where I'd say, okay, if this isn't clear in the way we're communicating, then we've got to get better at it, but you've also got to get better at listening and hearing. Two different things.
Suspensions are always a guessing game with NHL player safety. We all had a thought of what Brendan Lemieux of the Kings might get for biting Brady Tkachuk. It ends up getting being five games. So I know I think we talked about it with you, or we did talk about it with you on Monday. But now the decision has been rendered. What do you think of it? And I don't know if you ended up listening to the explanation, but what do you make of the entire situation?
I think it's a little light. I just do, because I think that's, you know, and I said last night on air that it'd be 10 games. I think Dregs was between 7 and 10, and I was 10. And because that's not a hockey play. And we argue so much about hockey plays and the speed of the game and whether the guy who got hit from behind turned his back at the last second and put himself in a vulnerable position. That was none of this. None. You know, it wasn't a hockey play. And so if you have a chance to eliminate non-hockey plays that are just ridiculous, then you know, for me, it's more than five games, but I mean, they make their decision and I listen to their explanation and they make their decision and that's all fine and good. But to me, when you have a chance to eliminate something totally that doesn't happen very often and discourage from anybody from ever thinking about doing it again, it's more than five for me, but you know, they'll move forward with it.
Yeah. And are you surprised at that, Pooley, that he didn't just kind of own up to it and try to come up with a bit of a defense that he thinks Brady cut his hand on his tooth by punching him? That I thought he made a mockery of the whole thing, that I thought you would have went on the high side.
Agreed. I just do. I mean, I don't, you know, I don't have time for non-hockey plays.
Yeah.
I mean, we have a hard enough time governing the game with hockey plays. And, you know, as I don't with the slew foot for Brad Marchand. I mean, that's a slew foot. You kick both feet out from underneath and push the top back. That's what's described. And, you know, that's not arguable. And to me, even that is a hockey play. You know, it happens in the course of a game with speed and two bodies and everything else. To me, biting isn't. It's not. It's simply not. And so, yeah. And you know, I listen. I you know, I'm sitting in the seat I'm sitting in. I listen to it. And to me, when you have a chance to control something like that, then control it.
Final question for you on tonight's opponent, the Vancouver Canucks. As bad as things have been in Ottawa, they haven't been much better for the Vancouver Canucks, and that would be a team that, based on their offseason moves, would have had higher expectations than Ottawa for this year. They just seem to me, from the outside, Dave, as a team that's kind of waffling right now, can't make up their mind on what they want to do. Is that the feel you get, and do you think something is going to happen with this organization? Be it a trade, be it a move in the front office, something's going to happen with this team fairly soon.
I do, but that's been happening for a while now. And it seems like, you know, just when it's going to happen, they win a game. They find a way to win a game and you know, cause that not to. I still think it's a player move ahead of a coach or manager. I mean, the manager holds all the cards. He's the boss. And the easiest thing to do is change a player or to a key one if you think there's a player that's an issue you know, either in the locker room or on the ice.
What do you think's happened to Pettersson this year? He just seems really off.
Boy. Really off. And that surprises me because his off last year could be explained by, you know, injury and the shortened season, all that. But I don't understand his off this year. He's playing with good players. I still think he's a highly skilled player. That's a deep one and a concerning one if you're Vancouver because, as you can see, I mean, he scores a goal, they win a game. It's as simple as that.
Right. All right, well, we'll see him and the Canucks tonight. Should be an interesting game. Appreciate the time and the insight, as always, and look forward to chatting with you again on Friday.
Thanks, guys. Have a great day.
Well, something that we know is that Matt Murray is not going to be playing net tonight for the Belleville Senators. Our own Jack Miller, well, not our Jack Miller, but our good friend Jack Miller, just tweeting out in the last few minutes that Mads Søgaard will be the starter for the Belleville Senators tonight in their game in Utica. Jack tweeting, Matt Murray will make his Belleville debut Saturday versus Manitoba. Troy Mann says two practices for Murray were not enough, and Murray agrees. So that is according to Jack Miller, of course, who is on the road trip with the team in Utica. So there you go. We had been talking about this is an important aspect of what does Matt Murray want the net? Does he want to get down there in Belleville and play right away? And the answer, apparently, at least for tonight, is no.
Yeah, and I play on every word, JR, and it is a tweet. But the coach then decides he doesn't think you've had enough practice time, and then the athlete agrees. Talking about a multi-million dollar athlete that's won two Stanley Cups, I don't really need Troy Mann. I love Troy to death as far as a coach. Man, like I said, just major red flags. And I love Pooley to death as well. I can't feel
tell,
like...
Well, I could tell when you went silent that it was I'm going to let this rest.
No, I just can't. I can't believe that that his temperature on my feeling of watching what's going on here. I've seen athletes struggle and then recover. And then I see certain people in certain situations. And that doesn't mean if he doesn't go to another organization at some point, JR, that maybe something happens. But for whatever has happened so far here in Ottawa, I'm not even talking about relationships between him and the team. I'm just talking about his own feel for the game, his hunger to want to play, to not want to be in the net tonight and decide you need a few more practices. This is a pattern we've seen way too much of, and it's major, major red flags for me. For a guy that you're expecting to be one of your true leaders and pillars of your franchise as you try to move along with a young franchise, that's the part there. I mean, this was a huge, huge piece of trying to integrate as you go along, and Jake Sanderson and the defense is young and trying to stabilize them. I needed my $6.25 million goaltender to provide that. I never thought in a million years we'd be down this path.
Certainly by Matt Murray's comments yesterday, you know, he used the word confused as to why what's went down has gone down, was asked if he feels like he's the scapegoat and said, yeah, I do, in part at least, for the team's poor start in any way whatsoever? Is it possible that he kind of says, yeah, I'll show you. I'm gonna go on strike for this game you want me to play. I'll just sit out. I don't feel that way, but any chance that's happening?
Oh, I have no idea at this point.
I'll show you.
I mean, he ain't going anywhere. I mean, hey, and it sounds like he's doing the commute from Belleville. The old thing he used to do, JR, is I'd be trying to find a team in the IHL that's in a really bad location.
Hello, Fort Wayne.
Fort Wayne's a bit underrated. Oh, okay. But in seriousness to his family, like, that's almost too convenient. It also raises the funny thing that Pooley said. We moved the team to Toronto when I was there in the American League, and I wasn't a fan of it. I don't think it's healthy for the guys to be in a big city. It was way better when you had your own identity. Portland, Maine, to me, was kind of that perfect one. It was a good-sized city, livable place, not that far to bring your players up. And more importantly, the travel wasn't bad.
And the lobster.
Yeah. Oh, gosh, yeah. Excellent restaurants. Kind of considered to be the San Francisco of the East.
And some not bad outlet shopping not that far away for those off days.
Yeah, the original L.L. Bean, right? If you want to slide up there and look like a Mariner, if you want to look like a Maine person, you got to have the L.L. Bean look going.
I threw that out there. I don't believe that. That you know he's
no. I know he's not. But I also don't think that this is someone that you know. I don't see this going away anytime soon, to be quite honest with you. Now it'll be interesting to see how he performs. But I don't know. Yeah, it's a. Like I say, he's holding all the cards at this point. I mean, basically, it's the next 60 games. If I can commute back and forth from Belleville, make the same amount of dough, then you're pretty much faced at the end of the year to try to buy me out. And if you want to stroke me a check for 10 mil to walk away, thanks very much.
I'm guessing, because he's talked about if the team, when they're at home, is practicing in Belleville, that he's going to drive back to Ottawa to spend the afternoon and evening. With his family. He's got a young daughter, of course, born this summer, and then back to Belleville to the hotel. So, Hammer, you've done this drive many times. Best time that you've ever made Ottawa, Belleville? I can't say legally because it would be, you'd be have a little bit of a heavy foot.
Oh, it's heavy.
120. You're going 120, which usually the constabulary will let you get away with.
Is that what you're telling me that I should be going or what I really did?
What's my best time going 120?
120, I think you're looking at about 210.
210?
2 hours and 10
and
minutes. And
416, 401, or am I going 7 because there's crow flies?
Stay the hell off of 7.
Especially in the winter.
Seven's nice,
yeah.
But it should never be used as my quick route to Ottawa.
Okay.
Never.
All right.
No, for the 400 series,
yep.
I have broken the two-hour mark.
Whoa.
I've gone under
shaved
before.
10 minutes off your the alleged time?
Doing 120.
Note to
doing
the
120.
Ontario,
really strong wind Ontario at my back.
Provincial police.
And that was on three wheels.
Are you?
I'm actually a bit disappointed. I don't consider taking 10 minutes off that drive to be anything impressive.
Oh, that's pretty good on a
AJ
two-hour
got
drive.
Lloydie and I back from Montreal in 45 minutes. mean, that's impressive.
Well, when did you start counting, Vank?
Yeah. Now Matt is actually, by going down to the minors, actually, he is making more money because he is no longer part, because when you're in the minors, you don't have to pay, the...
the escrow?
The escrow any longer. Oh, so he's making 17% more playing in the Ontario, or the,
really?
The American Hockey League. Yeah.
I got a driver, and I might even do a little mini bed. And the other part, to be honest, if you're commuting back and forth, too, I mean, takes a bit on, but hey, that's what I'm doing right there.
If Matt Murray needs somebody. If he needs
thanks
a driver,
very much.
You're going to be.
Are
you available to drive?
I can take care of him.
Matt? What about Cookie? What's he up to these days?
I don't know.
Matt Cook,
Cookie's
personal driver for Matt Murray. Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah. I don't know if I would trust Matt Cook.
whatever lead you to believe that?
You can trust me. I'll get you home to your family nice and safe.
Are we stopping at the Flying J for the best?
No. Never.
Never.
Never, ever.
What do you, like, I just...
We'll stop at the Husky?
In a bit of a role play, though, like, in what if you're calling JR and Matt Murray's called home and mentions to the wife, you know, maybe you come down and we stay at the Holiday Inn in Belleville. Like, how do you...
I'm saying the friendly city is a sweet spot to raise a family.
How do
That's
you think...
where I grew up.
Okay, let's begin by saying that call is not happening.
Yeah.
Okay?
And the next call you'll get from home is that we've decided to go to the summer or winter home in Sarasota, and we'll be waiting this out
until you emerge. I can drive him to Sarasota as well. No problems whatsoever. I'll get he and the family there nice, safe, and sound.
All right. Well, that is an interesting development. I can't say that I'm completely shocked by it. I want the goalie that wants the net. Yeah. So I'm from that perspective, I'm disappointed that he has made, and this does not appear based on what Jack has said, and no reason, you know, and he's kind of quoting or at least saying that this is what the coach is saying. This is not in any way whatsoever an injury-related thing. This is the player feels like he's not ready after two practices to play in the game tonight.
So. Man, it's tough, you know, and Coach Mann felt that first, so he identified some things in practice that Murray had to, and Murray agreed. You're right. The glove hand still isn't working. It really is, JR. That scares the bejesus out of me when I hear certain things and looking for certain things and a message being sent and then a guy saying he needs a few more days of practice. And like I said, if it was a one-off, and I understand all the COVID different things, but this was training camp and not going to play right away, needs a little more practice. Thought we heard this story an awful lot last year where, well, we'll kind of see. And then opening night for a new NHL season, a reset. He's kind of not sure until the day of the game whether or not he can go or not. And he couldn't go.
Rare for a goaltender to play in back-to-back games. Does Matt Murray not playing tonight now pretty much limit him to one game this week?
They play at home on Saturday and Sunday?
Yes.
Oh, he won't play Sunday. Not a chance, Hammer.
So just one game.
That would be way too taxing. No, I'm being serious.
Our TSN 1200 Tool and Equipment Store web poll question for you today is revolving around Matt Murray. Was it the right decision at the end of the day to send Matt Murray to the minors? Now, you've now heard from, good listener, you've now heard from Matt Murray, be it the clips that we played for, or you've read the article that that Ian Mendez has in The Athletic. Ian was down there yesterday, so you've either seen the quotes or you actually heard from him, the clips we played today. Have we tweeted out the entire interview from Matt Murray? Or we could. Regardless, was it the right decision to send Matt Murray to the minors? At the end of the day, did the Sens make the right decision? Not how they went about their business, just that they did their business. Yes or no? And it's pretty, well, 82%. 82% of you say absolutely right decision to send Matt Murray to the minors. 18% saying no. So let us know what you think at tsn1200.ca. But again, we're close to, we're over 800 votes already. That's pretty one-sided, and the numbers don't typically tend to change. So that, in terms of how the fans are feeling about what the decision the organization has made, they are in agreement that this was the right thing to do.
Yeah. As I said, I don't have any argument, JR, and he kind of just adds to it based on, as I said, you have really decided that you want to eliminate somebody for a group, not because they're Evander Kane, but as I said, in general, if a guy was struggling like this, but he's working and doing all the right things, just having him around for everything he could offer to a guy like Gustafson would be your automatic choice, not to mention trying to camouflage, you know. It's almost like putting Tierney on the fourth line left wing, making $4.2 million. It's just kind of tucked away there. Nobody's talking about it. In the case of Matt Murray, you know, it become, you know, tucking him on the bench and just letting Gustafson play, nobody would have really been saying a whole lot. Oh, Matt's great. And just Gustafson looks so good. You know, this has turned this into a major, major story.
All right. We'll continue to chat about it in the next hour. Most certainly love you to share your thoughts. You can text us at 12-1200, tweet at us at TSN1200. We'll open up the phone lines, as we always do, next hour as well on Matt Murray. We'll talk more about the game itself as well as Ottawa returns home for the first time in a couple of weeks with the postponements and the road trip. So Vancouver in town at 7:30 tonight. More on the game coming up in the next hour. We'll also give away that Holt Spa gift certificate just in time for Christmas shopping. We'll do that next hour. But up next, we're going to play another spellbinding edition of Sens or Sensibility. If you'd like to play the game, lucky caller number 30 right now at 613-750-1200 or star 1200. Free call and bell. Caller number 30 will play. Here's what you're playing for. All right. It's a pair of 100-level seats to see the Sens and the Avalanche on Saturday night. That sounds pretty sweet. Home game, 100-level seats, absolutely free. Somebody wins a pair of tickets if you can beat one of Simmer or Hammer in our spellbinding Sens or Sensibility. Call us right now. We'll come back with caller number 30 and play the fun game next here on TSN 1200.
This is TSN 1200.
We got our contestant ready to go this morning. It's Trevor. Sounds like he's on the road. How you doing, Trevor?
Pretty good. Yourself?
Excellent. Thanks. Are you familiar with Sense and Sensibility?
You know, I've heard it on the radio. I've tried calling in, but I've never gotten through.
Oh, my God. This is your lucky day, Trevor. Can you imagine what's at stake here? 100 level seats to see the Sens and the Avalanche Saturday night. How's that sound?
The stakes are high.
Stakes are very high. Yeah, because it's either that or nothing.
So, as are the prices of stakes.
Exactly. All right, so Trevor, here's a very simple. I got five made-up questions here, made-up prop lines, where okay. I give you an either-or. You need to choose the answer you believe will have the higher answer. The higher number, okay, is what you're looking for. And you need to get at least one more right than either one of Hammer or Simmer, okay?
Sounds good.
Simple enough? Okay, we'll give you the option of going first or last. What do you want to do?
We're going first.
Okay, you're going first. I love it. He's commanding the stage. Okay, so again, you're looking for the, you're going to choose the one that's going to have the higher answer. Here's our number one of five. Isn't this exciting? Adam Gaudette, he's the new guy for the Sens. Adam Gaudette's ice time, rounded to the nearest minute, plus or minus his plus or minus in tonight's game, or second period shots by the Vancouver Canucks. So Gaudette ice time, plus or minus is plus or minus, or second period shots by the Canucks. What do you choose? Higher number.
I'm going to take the Canucks on that one.
Okay, Trevor's got the Canucks. Simmer.
Oh, no, I'm going Gaudy all the way.
Okay.
He's going 15 plus. I'd say a plus two tonight. And Vancouver's not that good of a team. So
okay.
The former Homie Baker. Hobie.
Homie Baker.
Homie.
Hey, Homie. Okay. Hammer.
Okay, Vancouver's not that good of a team. Neither's the Sens, especially in the second period. I'll take the Canucks and the shots. Please.
Okay,
wow.
Number two. Here we go. This one's pretty simple. Quinn Hughes assists in tonight's game or Brady Tkachuk penalty minutes? Quinn Hughes assists or Brady Tkachuk penalty minutes? What's going to be the higher number, Trevor?
Yeah, that's an easy one. We're going with Chucky.
All right, Chucky. Simmer.
Wow. The Chuckster is going to want to get things going, but he's got the most of that hand has got gangrene, so he's not going to be able to scrap. Man, he'll still get 2 minutes, so I'm going Tkachuk.
Okay, all right. Clean sweep, Hammer, or
no,
what?
No pimps for Tkachuk. One power play assist for Hughes. Give me Hughes.
All right, here we go. Number three of five. This it gets more exciting as we go. Bo Horvat's face-off percentage.
Why?
Bo Horvat's face-off percentage in tonight's game, or Philadelphia 76ers first half points versus the Boston Celtics. Bo Horvat face-off percentage or Sixers first half points, Trevor?
Well, we're terrible in the face-off dot. I'm gonna take Horvy on this one.
Oh, he's taking Horvy. He's even giving him a new nickname. Okay, Simmer.
Bo knows face-offs. I'm going Horvy as well.
Okay, all right. We're in agreement. Clean sweep.
No, forget the both of you. All give right. it the first half points.
Okay. Joel Embiid is back.
Are the Sixers scoring a lot, Jer?
They are. Joel Embiid's back. So,
okay,
here we go. There's only two left. Hard
all
to
right,
believe.
All right.
All right. Pittsburgh and Edmonton are playing each other tonight. So Connor McDavid plus Sidney Crosby combined points or shots on goal by all Senator defensemen in tonight's game. So McDavid and Crosby combined points or shots on goal by all Sens defensemen. Trevor.
That's a good one. We're going to go with Crosby and McDavid.
Okay. Simmer, are you just going to sit in Trevor's lap all night? Or
No, not at all. No, I feel like they're going to unleash the beast. Lassie is back, smiling like a dog. You got Shabby Chabot going to be lighting it up on the power play. No more just passing it off. Oh, shots on goal by the Sens D all the way.
All right, Hammer.
Absolutely shots on goal by the Sens D.
Okay, Trevor, you're on your own. Got my fingers crossed for you in that one. All right, last one. Here we go. Total block shots by all Sens players. Blocked shots. Or total goals in the six English Premiership games today. So blocked shots by Sens players or total goals in the six Premiership games. Trevor.
Oh, I'm going to go with the soccer on this one. They're going to be lots of goals there. That's what I'm thinking.
Okay. Well, we got Man City versus Aston Villa. You know they're going to be lighting it up. Okay, Simmer.
Well, technically, the goaltender is a player, so that is he's a shot blocker as well, right, Jared?
No, it's not. No, don't try any of your shenanigans.
I'll go the English Premier as well.
Okay. Hammer?
The Sens had 10 block shots against the Kings. Six soccer matches?
Six.
12 teams. You know, I've gone contrarian. Give me the block shots.
Block shots it is.
Give it to me.
All right. Ooh. Trevor, we marked her all down, my friend. If you get one more right than either Zimmer or Hammer, you're on your way to see the Sens and the Avalanche in 100-level seats on Saturday. That sound good?
Yeah, I'll start scheduling around that. Perfect. Thanks, guys.
I love the confidence. All right. Thanks for playing the game, my friend. Good luck.
Thanks, guys. Have a great morning.
All right. There he goes. Trevor, I got my fingers crossed for him, and I'm confident that he is going to, well, it's basically between you and, because you've gone opposite of Trevor and everyone, Hammer.
Yeah, so if I clean house in this, which probably will not
and
happen.
And Simmer just chose everything that Trevor did.
No.
So.
But yeah, and they're good questions here. Hey?
Oh, well, thanks for the compliment.
No, I mean
you
that.
Enjoyed it. We'll do it again tomorrow because the Sens are playing again tomorrow. So we'll have some football props for tomorrow because we'll have a Thursday night game, Cowboys and Saints, too. All right, we'll take a break just past 9 o'clock, and we'll get you the latest news and sports update. And then when we come back, more on the Sens and the Canucks. Again, Matt Murray has decided, along with the coach, he's not going to play in the Belleville Senators game tonight. So your reaction to that is welcome. More discussion on the whole Matt Murray thing as well. And again, there is a hockey game going on tonight. First home game in a while for the Sens. So they take on the Canucks. So more on that. And get to some other stuff we haven't had time for yet this morning as well. And that Holt Spa gift certificate to give away. That's all straight ahead in the next hour here on TSN 1200.